The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I'm laughing, and I'll bring it up in a couple of minutes because I have a similar topic, but a Woodinville High School parent just sent me pictures from their graduation ceremony. What an angry bunch of kids they have, they have out there in Woodinville. If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Use your white privilege to end your white privilege. That makes sense. Use your white privilege to end your white privilege. And it's two white girls holding up that sign. Another white girl. Why is ending racism so controversial? It's not. We did it. We ended it. And then another white girl. All cops are B-words. Yeah. Yeah. Fight the power, man. You go get them, you all white Woodinville children. Go get them. A parent said this is at graduation. They sent me a bunch of other pictures, too, in files. Why don't you have some mixed-race people in any of the photos? And what have you done to make you feel like such a racist? You're telling everybody else they're racist, but what have you done that makes you such a racist, kids? That's what I would like to know. That's what I'd like to find out from them. Man. Okay, before I get to all of my big lead topics here, Nicole, you know your way around a firearm. You've gone shooting with me at West Coast Armory North a couple of times.
Yeah, very basics.
Right. If you felt that you were more, let's say you keep working at it, and if you feel that you become more of a marksperson, would you ever be able to shoot another human being?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought my life is in danger and I had no other option possibly.
What if your life wasn't in danger and you did have other options? Let me explain. In South Carolina, they need a firing squad. And the reason is right now they execute people via the electric chair in South Carolina. But there's something that says you have to give the condemned a choice. And so the Supreme Court says, okay, yeah, you can choose electric chair or firing squad, thinking everyone will choose the electric chair. Anyway, well, now some death row inmate has chosen firing squad. So they have to assemble a squad of sharpshooters. And as I understand it, all but one or two have blanks in their guns, and then one or two have live rounds, and nobody knows who is who. Nobody knows if they're the one who fires the fatal shot. That's how you can protect them from feeling guilty about it. But I swear to you, I did this topic back when our call-in days, when Utah was looking for a firing squad. And I thought, well, nobody would say that they would want to do that job. The lines were jammed. And every single caller said, oh, yeah, sign me up. I would do that in a heartbeat. And I said, really, you could shoot another human being? Because I can do it. I couldn't do it. And back then, that was 25 years ago. We were in the old building, the old Cairo 7 building. So I know it was at least 25 years ago. But every single person, and things were relatively nice back then. Can you imagine in 2021, and as edgy as people are now, I bet they would have no shortage of volunteers for a firing squad now.
Oh, I have a ton of hunters in my family, and I couldn't kill an animal.
No.
If my life was in danger, I would probably try something else first.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would only if if we were being attacked at the time by an animal. And I could certainly do it if a human being was attacking us, too. But so anyway, if you're a good sharpshooter, they're looking for a firing squad in South Carolina. Tell them Dory sent you. All right, next year.
Can you imagine choosing that as your form of going out? I mean, you could go out peacefully or you could do that. It's bizarre.
Well, it started. This is back when I was high school or college. I don't remember what year it was. But there was a guy named Gary Gilmore. And I'm just talking off the top of my head here. I could have a couple details a little bit wrong. But Gary Gilmore said in Utah that he wanted to go out via the firing squad. And it was quite the sensational story. People were making Gary Gilmore T-shirts, and it had his picture in the middle of a target symbol. And it was quite the sensational story. And I believe that he actually did go out via firing squad. They just picked him apart.
The people that get sentenced to that kind of punishment, I guess, aren't all there mentally anyway.
No. I don't know what I would choose. I hope I'm never in a position to have to choose. Okay. Hanging sounds horrible. There's another guy. What was the name of that guy? Killed the mom and daughter in Clearview up on Highway 2. Oh, this is getting like a gore. I wasn't planning on talking about it.
I know, yeah. Okay, wait. I feel like we're going down a bad road here.
I know. I'll just tell it real quick. I mean, he's a horrible, horrible person. Sexually attacked this woman. He went to prison. They let him out. Then he goes back and murders her and her daughter, who's about 6 years old. And then he was sentenced to death. And he was so terrified the day of his execution that he wouldn't leave his cell, and he was just going limp, and they had to strap him to a backboard, and they carried him on the backboard, and then they stood up the backboard so he couldn't wriggle free, and that was still attached to him when the door opened. And I will say, even though my heart is against the death penalty, knowing what an absolute monster this guy was and the terror he inflicted on people, I didn't hate the fact that he had a similar level of terror in his final hours. But that is for all the wrong reasons, and that's not the Christian in me, and that's why I wrestle every single day of my life with the death penalty, because I shouldn't take any satisfaction out of someone's death, even if they're a horrible, horrible human being. Okay, I didn't mean to talk about all this stuff. I got some other stuff to get to. Let's get to the Big Lead.
Your read on the Big Lead.
From Blaine, he writes, "Hey, Dory, King County in Seattle mandated an extra $4 per hour for grocery store employees because they're risking their lives. Yet I walked into Safeway and QFC stores this weekend, and they're full of unmasked employees. We are all paying higher grocery prices to subsidize the $4 hazard pay because Seattle and King County deemed grocery store employees being in such high danger of COVID-19. Well, why are they allowed to work unmasked if their jobs are dangerous enough to warrant hazard pay?" It's a fair question, and I don't know the answer to that. And then this one, just simple one line from Eric. "Dory, the Veterans Administration is going to start offering gender reassignment surgery. I'm a veteran, and I can't get them to clean my teeth." Tell you what, here's what you do, Eric. Go in and tell them you want a plaque reassignment on your teeth. Then they'll take care of it. You just have, trust me on all of this, and this goes far beyond this. Everybody should get a set of my woke word dice. And then you just, instead of saying, "Hey, can you clean my teeth?" No. That's not going to get a yes. Then go, "Could I have a plaque reassignment, please?" Then they'll clean your teeth. Just got to learn the lingo, for crying out loud. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Okay, this gets back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, about those Woodinville high school kids who are saying how they're racist and everybody's racist, and I don't know why the Woodinville kids are so racist, but they seem to think they are. So a listener sent me, it is a study, a poll, that the state of Washington is sending out to, I guess, all state employees. And if you are a state employee, correct me if I'm wrong, but let me know if this went to all state employees. So I'm just pulling it up here. The person who sent it to me, hi, Dory, attached are all the pages of this survey. All state employees must take part. And it's from the executive branch, so Jay Inslee's Office of Equity Strategic Planning Listening Survey. Let me read that to you again. From the Executive Branch Office of Equity Strategic Planning Listening Survey. Okay, they did well with that one. Survey purpose, to gather the collective wisdom for co-creating a five-year equity strategic plan that helps Washington bridge opportunity gaps. We need you, blah, blah, blah. We will not publicly disclose individual responses. Anyway, I get to required question number one. And I honestly don't know what I would do with this. I'd write in a fifth option, but it's fill in the bubbles. So I don't know if they can even take write-in answers. But question number one, where are you on your anti-racism journey? And you have four choices. Emerging, I'm unsure on how to start. Developing, I am working to create equitable outcomes for all, yet inconsistently apply what I have learned about anti-racism to my work with others. Three, performing, I regularly read articles, books, and participate in group discussions on racism. I am becoming anti-racist and embedding it in my daily routine. Or fourth choice, transforming. I not only demonstrate anti-racism in my practice, I champion the rights of individuals to live in an equitable anti-racist society. No, there isn't a fifth option, which would be mine, and that is I'm not a racist. According to the state of Washington, every single person is somewhere on an anti-racism journey. But I've lived a lifetime. I've had a life's journey where I'm not a racist. So why would I have to tell the state of Washington that I am? And pick where on the spectrum of journey I fall. But they don't give you that option. And so just that alone tells you that the state of Washington believes that every single state worker is racist. Which means to me, I think we should clean out the HR department at the state of Washington, because they're doing a horrible job of hiring people, because every single person they've hired is a racist, for crying out loud. Here's my thought. I'm going to offer this for free. I'm a state taxpayer. I like to save the state money. I love to save my fellow taxpayers' money. I don't know who to direct. Well, Jay, I know that Jay, I heard that Jay Inslee's just obsessed with our show. Did you hear about that, Nicole? Well, Jay Inslee is kind of publicly denouncing our radio show. Did you hear the same stuff that I heard about him?
I did. No, I did not hear.
I heard that every night he listens to our show's podcast, all 3 hours. Every single night. He cannot go to sleep until he's heard our show.
Oh, that's it?
Oh. No, that's all. Yeah. I mean, I don't know any other details.
I thought maybe he said something to somebody and...
No.
Okay.
No, he's just a closet fan.
Insider information?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but all 3 hours every night. So I know he's listening.
So, sure.
Jay, here's my tip. Save you a lot of money, a lot of problems, a lot of lawsuits, a lot of strife. Stop hiring racists. Or at least try to reduce the number. Right now, you are 100% racist, according to your state survey. Why don't you just start by hiring a few people who aren't racist? And no, not me. I like what I do too much. I'm not available. But I know a lot of people who are not racist. And they'd be great in some of your jobs. They'd be great in your job, as a matter of fact. So anyway, if you work for the state of Washington knows one thing, and that is you are a racist. Man, that's got to stink to know. But again, nobody can define who and what you are. The only thing that defines who and what you are your actions, your thoughts, your words, your deeds. And if you live your life in an exemplary way, and if you love all people, if you judge people by the content of their character, you're not a racist. That's something that politicians will never, ever figure out. At least the ones on the left who want to divide us so horribly. Critical race theory, stupid surveys like this. This is a stupid survey. I don't have time to tell the story. I had to take a survey that, for similar reasons, this was a few months ago, and I refused to take it. I said, well, none of this is true. None of this is a reflection of me and how I live my life, and I refuse to do it. I will never let somebody else define what I am, and you should never let anybody else define what you are. Now, if you have some level of self-awareness, you can take good input from people you trust and respect and let them help shape it a bit. But don't let others define you. Let me take a quick time out. I got some other things I was going to get to in the big bleed. Okay, let me take a quick time out, and then we will just continue with the big lead after we check the news for you as the Dory Monson Show continues. Monson Show rolls on. Since I started the hour with this, Nicole, do you want to hear one more execution story?
I guess I have to say yes.
Okay. So I was trying to remember the name of the guy in Clearview who committed the two murders and had to be strapped to a backboard. And a friend of mine said, was it Mitchell Roop? And I said, no. Then I remember, Charles Campbell is the guy in Clearview. Do you know the story of Mitchell Roop?
I don't think so.
This was one of the odder court cases ever in our state. So Mitchell Roop, and if you don't like hearing execution stories, this ain't the 3 minutes for you. But Mitchell Roop, he shot two bank tellers down in Olympia, and he was found guilty of the crime. So Washington at the time had a choice. You can get lethal injection, or you can get, they still had the gallows, or you can choose death by hanging. So Mitchell Roop chose death by hanging. But then his lawyers went to the courts and said, our client chooses death by hanging, but death by hanging would be a cruel and unusual punishment for him. Because, you see, Mitchell Roop weighed at least 425 pounds. I say at least because the scale only went up to 425. He could have been 450, he could have been 500, who knows. But they said, because of his immense girth, that if they hanged Mitchell Roop, this is really gory. I don't even know if I want to. Well, they said that he'd be decapitated because this massive body weight would just rip off in the hanging process. And so a judge actually said, you know, you're right. And the prosecutor said, wait, he chose hanging. And then he argues that hanging is cruel and unusual. And he actually got a stay of execution. And then he died of liver disease. So he, natural causes after all of that. But the state of Washington didn't get to hang him because he had made this legal end around of, I want to be hanged. Hanging's cruel and unusual with somebody as fat as me. So that's why Mitchell
Roop. I don't know why they get a choice. When you commit the types of crimes you commit to receive that sort of punishment, I don't think you get any more choices. You're done.
Here's what I heartily believe. I believe every choice of, or every option, every method of execution should be written on one side of a dice. And then, old Sparky!
You just love those dice.
I gotta get out. I gotta move on with the show for crying out loud. That's what I gotta do. I do have to get on with the show. All right, let's continue. Let's just make this a real extended big lead here.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So if you haven't heard, I led the show with this. The gay pride event that's coming up in Seattle in a public park is going to have an interesting admissions policy. According to the organizers for the gay pride event, if you're gay or the other LGBTQI2S+, then you can get in, unless you're a gay cop. Gay cops are not welcome because they hate the police. But they did ask the Seattle police to stand around the perimeter and provide security for them at their event. They just won't allow gay cops. And that's the Capitol Hill Pride said that. Now, this is Seattle Pride, different organization. But they have an event coming up. And I guess Seattle Pride says gay cops are okay. But if you are white and you want to, and straight, or as progressive people like me now call it, cis, then they're going to charge you a reparations fee to get into the event. They said it'll be charged on a sliding scale, anywhere from $10 to $50, depending on one's ability to pay. And they say that they're going to do this starting at Jimi Hendrix Park. And they said that they're doing this, the reparations fee, to feel empowered. Here's what they say about their racist admissions policy. All are free to enter and attend. However, this is a black and brown, queer, trans-centered, prioritized, valued event. White allies and accomplices are welcome to attend, but will be charged a $10 to $50 reparations fee that will be used to keep this event free of cost for black and brown, trans and queer community. Now, this is completely illegal. Of course, Seattle Municipal Code confirms that. But they say that they have a right to do this. Seattle Parks, by the way, says they don't have permission. They've not issued permits, that this is an unpermitted event. But if you are white, prepare to pay to make good for all of the hideous sins that accompany your whiteness. You should, just frankly, between you and me, if you're white, you should be ashamed of yourself. So if you go to the Seattle Pride event this weekend, bring them 10. Bring them a double Sawbuck. If you're feeling generous, how about a Benny Franklin? Hey, what's up with that? Why are they choosing bills that people pay that have founding fathers on them? I thought we hated the founding fathers. None of this is consistent. Who's on these bills? Who is on U.S. Sorry, I just thought about this now. Who's on U.S. currency? Let's see what I get here. Yeah, oh, no, it's George Washington on the one. Abe Lincoln on the five. Okay, Alexander Hamilton's on the 10. Andrew Jackson on the 20. Ulysses S. Grant on the 50. And Grant, they were tearing down Grant statues just a few months ago, even though he fought for the North in the Civil War. Why are you taking bills with these horrible Americans on them? Nothing makes sense to me. Nothing in Seattle makes sense anymore. Okay, then one other thing before I take a quick time out here. If you are one of the pictured students at Woodinville High School who's holding up your anti-racism banners and ACAB at graduation, I would love to talk with you on the big show tomorrow. I'd love to have a conversation and find out what you do that is so racist that you need to tell the world about it, your racism, when you hold up these signs. So if you are a student at Woodinville High School and you are among those who are holding up all the anti-racism signs, please tell me what you've done that is so racist yourself, because I just want to understand you better. So we'll take a real quick time out here, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. But we had one of these last week. Remember when that reporter at the Fox affiliate in Houston, live on the air, said that she's going to quit her job? Well, she did get fired from her job because she had some blockbuster news.
Thanks, guys. That's right. Before we get to that story, I want to let you, the viewers, know that Fox Corp has been muzzling me to keep certain information from you, the viewers. And from what I'm gathering, I am not the only reporter being subjected to this. I am going to be releasing some recordings about what goes on behind the scenes at Fox because it applies to you, the viewers. I found a nonprofit journalism group called Project Veritas. It's going to help put that out tomorrow, so tune into them. But as for this heat wave across Texas, you can see what it's doing to AC units.
Okay, so then she got suspended, then she got fired, then she went on Project Veritas and said that they wouldn't let her talk last year about hydroxychloroquine when that might have helped people who had COVID. Well, it just happened again. Yesterday, a local CBS weather forecaster.
Good evening, and thanks for watching First Forecast. I'm meteorologist April Moss, and happy Father's Day. Today, we saw temperatures above normal again, topping out at 85 degrees at Metro Airport. Plenty of sunshine today, but all good things must come to an end, and that starts as early as tomorrow morning with showers moving in around 8 a.m. And speaking of a brand new week, I will be sitting down this week with Project Veritas to discuss the discrimination that CBS is enforcing upon its employees. Tune in to Project Veritas for my full story. Now, later Monday, we will see those showers continuing through late morning, but by evening, we'll see dry conditions and more comfortable temperatures as well.
It's weird, though. Two reporters in one week. All right, we have some breaking news to share with you. We talked about it earlier today. We've been talking about it a lot the last couple of weeks, that someone or some people have been throwing rocks, rebar, scooters off of overpasses right around where I-5 and I-90 meet. Happened again last night. And now we're told that an arrest has been made. Trooper Rick Johnson with Washington State Patrol joining us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Trooper, I appreciate you jumping on with me on short notice like this.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Dory.
What can you tell me about the arrest that's been made?
Well, there's a couple different incidents. So it would be Sunday morning, Father's Day, about 3 a.m. And, you know, we have a pretty robust plan in place over the past couple weeks trying to affect an arrest. So we received reports of an individual throwing rocks in the Dearborn and I-5 area that was riding a bike with a headlamp on. And one of the sergeants that actually was on foot patrol in that area saw this individual, and of course, he's on a bike, the sergeant's on foot, so takes off after him. At the same time, our aircraft, which was up, was able to follow this individual, the direction he was heading. In conjunction with that, one of the troopers in the area, another separate individual, threw a large knife at his vehicle, struck his vehicle, thankfully no injuries. That person was arrested. During that arrest, the individual on the bike with the headlamp rode by this scene, and we were able to arrest him.
My goodness. What time of day did you say this was, yesterday?
3 a.m.
I mean, the first thing that jumps out at me, Troop Johnson, is that you had an aircraft up at 3 a.m. on Saturday night, Sunday morning. And was that specifically to help catch these rock throwers?
That's part of the plan, yes. And so what our analysts are doing are trying to establish a pattern, location, time. And this was, you know, one of the times that seemed to have, you know, commonality with the reports that we've been getting.
As you sent this to the prosecutor's office, if it has been, is it being sent with a charging recommendation?
Well, we present the facts, and the prosecutor obviously decides what charges are going to be filed. That individual was booked into jail, you know, sometime after that event, and then the trooper will compile, make sure there's no other additional witnesses, and then forward that to the prosecutor's office. So, depending on if we can tie, you know, injuries or, you know, damage to this individual, which we may or may not be able to, but that probably will depend on the prosecutor's decision-making on, you know, what level of a crime it is.
And that's what worries me, and I'm guessing a lot of my listeners, is sounds like you guys did a great, great job to find and arrest a guy. But seeing how and what's being charged and how people are, I mean, you know, a guy kicked a dog to death a couple of weeks ago and was released on PR, and it's getting so frustrating. And I know that that's completely out of your hands at this point, but do you think they'll have something they could hold and lock this guy up with?
Well, we sure hope so, but Dory, our part of the system is to find an arrest and present
yes.
the case. So,
yep.
Obviously, I hear what you're saying. You know, our troopers say, listen, do your job, do a good job, you know, write a great report, you know, get the witness statements and present that to the prosecutor's office. And then, you know, if they want more additional information, they'll call the trooper. But that's kind of where our part of that case ends. We believe there's more, there's another or more individuals that have done this because the description of the individual that we arrested, doesn't match another description we have of another incident. So we're not backing down, obviously. We'll continue with the plan we have in place that seems to be making some really good progress. So we're happy about that. But we want this to, you know, cease altogether.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, you answered the next question. I was going to ask if you thought there were others still out there. Any idea in talking to this guy? And I know that so many people on the streets, Trooper, are just mentally whacked and maybe aren't coherent even in being able to articulate anything. Any idea what he said when you asked why he does this?
You know, I haven't seen the incident report, and I'm interested in seeing that. I'm sure it's still in the trooper's hands as he, you know, kind of dots the I's and crosses the T's. However, we did arrest someone else last night that was throwing debris in the same kind of general area. We were able to arrest that individual, and through the troopers talking with this individual, we ended up taking him to Harborview for an involuntary commitment. So you're right, there was, you know, at least at that one last night, separate from the, you know, the morning before, that there was mental distress. And obviously we want to get these individuals help, but we also, you know, want to, you know, send a message that we will, you know, investigate these and forward things to the prosecutor's office.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's great, great work. I know it's something everybody's been nervous about. Do people need to avoid driving there? I've heard so many people say, and we've only got about 10 seconds, people have said, no, I'm going to take 405 and bypass it. People need to avoid driving under I-5, 990?
I don't feel that way at all, Dory, but what we want people to be alert, call in any pedestrians, and we respond to everyone, whether they're throwing rocks or not. because we want to compile a list of people that are contacted on the freeway, obviously. And, you know, if we do, they're not doing anything at the time, you know, see if they match a description, and we'll talk to us about maybe past, you know, things that they may have done by, like, throwing rocks.
All right. Trooper Rick Johnson, Washington State Patrol. Really appreciate you jumping on with me so quick, Rick. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great afternoon.
All right, and that is our breaking news, and that's going to do it for us today. Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon!
Nu är det slut för den här veckan, men ni ser oss på måndag igen. Hej då!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.